I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a furious podium-pounding address just a little while ago on state television, Libyan President Muammar Gaddafi has vowed to fight mass protests against his regime, calling protesters rats and agents of foreign powers. He urged his supporters to take to the streets to show protesters what a popular revolution is really like, and he vowed to die like a martyr. Here's part of the speech through a translator.
I am a fighter. I am a fighter from the countryside. I led a historic revolution that brought honor to the Libyans. Generation Libya will be leading the whole world, Africa, Asia, and Latin America. Nobody can stop this historic march.
Muammar Gaddafi again speaking through a translator earlier today. In a few minutes, a Libyan protester we reached in Tripoli who says he's also very ready to die for democracy. But first, Max Fisher, international editor at TheAtlantic.com. Max, your thoughts on Gaddafi's address?
Well, you know, his rambling hour-long speech really started somewhat like the speeches that we heard from Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak and from Tunisian President Ben Ali. There's a lot of kind of vague promises, attempts to appease the protesters. There were warnings about Islamists taking over and Zionists taking over, even though it sounds like kind of an unusual combination. But what was different about this, and as a reminder of what's so different about the Gaddafi regime and about Libya, is that he transitioned fairly quickly after a few minutes into threatening civil war. He approvingly cited the crackdown at Tiananmen Square. He pledged to turn Libya into Somalia with an extended, protracted civil war against the protesters. And he listed the many different reasons that he might hand down death sentences to the protesters. So he made very clear that he's going to continue his policy of all-out war against what began as peaceful, nonviolent, pro-democracy protests, but has devolved very quickly into something much more violent.
Right. We've heard about, you know, helicopters attacking Libyan citizens. We're going to talk to someone in Tripoli about that. But how did he look to you? He was sweating a bit, but does he look sane?
He's never looked sane. I mean, this is the thing about the big joke about Gaddafi is that he's a crazy person. And on days not like today, like when he comes to the UN and he looks like a crazy person, it's funny. But, it's a reminder that we've really got a nut job in charge of this country, in charge of vast security forces. I mean, it's really true that he's quite unhinged. He's also incredibly cunning, which is how he's been able to hold on to power for 40-plus years and how he's continued to hold on to power now. But he has no hesitation at all about killing his own people.
Well, he did say he hasn't even given the order to start using bullets. Bullets have been flying. What do you take that to mean?
You saw the same kind of dance from Mubarak and from Ben Ali, where they position themselves on the side of the protesters to say, I'm going to bring peace, I'm going to end this conflict. But it's incredibly obvious that his security forces at his command have been killing protesters. His son, Kamis, who commands one of the worst military brigades in Tripoli, has been employing snipers to just shoot at civilians.
Yeah. Max Fisher, international editor at Atlantic.com. Max, tell you what, I'd love for you to stand by for some more analysis, but we did manage to reach 31-year-old Ahmed in the Libyan capital of Tripoli just a little while ago. He was among the protesters heading toward Green Square last night when there was rock throwing between pro and anti-government groups, and he says people started shooting at them with machine guns from a car. He says public workers were trying to just clean up the streets. And I asked him about the reports that many people in Tripoli are staying in their homes today because of the violence last night, and also if he'd seen these helicopter attacks on people that we'd been hearing about.
Yeah, we heard them. We didn't see them. We just saw them in the sky, the helicopters going up and down. But they're staying in their homes just to regroup. Tonight they will all be out again.
Well, and tell us what else you're seeing. We're hearing reports of, again, these helicopters firing on people, and also reports of mercenaries wearing yellow hard hats brought in from outside the country. What are you seeing?
This is the key issue. The mercenaries. They're all over the place. Two days ago they were following us. Once they attacked us, we were running away. They were following them into the small streets. They were gunning down people. It's chaos. The mercenaries are the biggest issue in this battle we're having right now.
How do you know they're from outside the country?
Well, a lot of them have been caught. A lot of them are unable to. They don't speak Arabic. They're speaking mostly French or different languages. We have this footage of them all over the net. We have friends with footage of them trying to upload it. The internet's a bit hard. But we know they're Africans. I mean, we know the Libyans. They're not Libyans.
Yeah, Ahmed, what's the biggest complaint of people on the streets? I mean, we've been hearing it, but I want to hear it from you. What's the biggest complaint?
The biggest complaint, people tried to speak peacefully. They were unable. Now they're being gunned down. I mean, they're taking lives as if it's irrelevant. People are being gunned down all over the place. And once they're gunned down, they're unable to get any treatment. Hospitals are unable to, in their full capacities. And after that, even with deaths, they're not giving the bodies back. We have a lot of martyrs down, and the families aren't able to get the bodies back. It's nothing like happened in other countries. There was small protests, there was a bit of fire. We're being gunned down. This is an internal, it's a bloodshed. It hasn't happened since the days of Rwanda, when you're talking, I mean, you made movies about this. This is, it's as bad as that. People are being gunned down, machine guns, bullets. They're not using the normal bullets that you use on humans. They're using anti-aircraft missiles. They're using the strong bullets that are going right through walls. I mean, it's bullets. I mean, there's all types of things. There's not things you use on your own people. It's nothing like we saw in Tunis or Egypt.
Yeah, in Egypt in particular, we saw some attacks on people. But this sounds like it's much more. And you're saying
a country of 85 million, there was around 300 dead. We had 300 in one city of 200,000 and 100,000. It's a massacre here.
So, but do you think, Ahmed, this is going to bring more people onto the streets or drive them back into their homes? What do you think?
No. The only city now that it's under a bit of siege is Tripoli. Scared. The rest of Libya has stood up and they've had enough. They're governing themselves now, and at the end of it, they won't leave Tripoli to be taken like this.
Yeah.
Tripoli now is scared in the day, but at night, all the young people, the old people, everyone's out. And the bravery comes out and the courage is out, and at night, everyone's back on the streets.
Ahmed, tell us about something else we're hearing, that in Libya, there's sort of this division among people, that people have more allegiance to their particular tribe than, let's say, a national allegiance. Is that not true?
This is something Gaddafi tried to inspire when he came back into power. There's still a bit of allegiance to your tribe, but overall, Libya is first. I mean, they're trying to make a bigger situation out of this tribal business and to turn it into a big political, to scare the people. It's more scare tactics, so people aren't. Are worried that once they leave, they're going to break up. It's not going to exist. This is something that he's trying to, or Saif in particular, tried to put into the media and to have it spread, which he's been successful at doing so far, but it's completely false. People of Libya are completely united in this.
Well, and his son did the same thing in that early morning televised speech.
Exactly.
Yeah. And by the way, what are Libyans' thoughts on Muammar Gaddafi's son? The speech seems somewhat rambling.
I had a lot of people. There's two things. The first thing, there were the people that are neutral. They said, we don't care, we're going to stay home. Once they saw the mercenaries, they completely flipped. They became passionate about getting rid of him. The second thing was that speech. I mean, once people heard that, it had the complete counter effect. He's pointing with a finger. It's almost like, you know, telling off school children. People were infuriated by that speech.
He was saying things like there's going to be only chaos. Libya will fall into divided chaos because, again, of this sense of tribal allegiances.
He was saying this type of stuff, and he was saying that, you know, we have all these contracts and we're not going to give you any houses. You're not going to have any food. You're not going to have, if he dies, he's not taking it with it. It's still staying here. It's staying here. Our oil is here. We have money. It's going to be fine. It's just scare tactics. The same thing with the tribes. There is tribal thing. It was made stronger by Gaddafi himself, who tried to revive the tribal situation to get more allegiances from different tribes and to have it easier to control in general. But to have internal fighting and segmentation, it's not going to happen.
Well, what about the military? In Egypt, it's a conscripted army, and the army took the side of the people. In Libya, we're hearing again that there are 10 generals that rule 10 tribal divisions of the military, and that it won't be the same. There won't be the same kind of fluid transition.
There's a difference. In the main army is the Libyan part of it is very small. It's not that big, and it will be with the people. Now you have his sons. Each one of his sons has something we call a katiba. It's an army of it in its own right. Khamis, he's the one that he's famous for having all these African mercenaries. Each one of the sons has leads his own small army. So now these are the ones that are loyal to him. And are still around. Any army led by Libyans, full of Libyans, will not take part in this massacre. And some of them have joined in the east of the Vole, joined, and Tripoli, they're still scared. But once it comes down to it, they won't shoot on us. The ones we are worried about is the Sun's armies. They're the ones that are a bit, ruthless.
Well, given that, Ahmed, why are you doing this? Why are you taking this risk?
We want freedom. I mean, the Libyan youth have spoken, everyone in Libya has spoken, and they prefer freedom, or they're willing to give up their lives for the sake of freedom.
We understand that you actually have spent some time in London. You've come back to Libya. You've got a child on the way.
Yes, I do.
Are you not worried? We hear that the government is tracking down people like you.
They are, but I mean the government said, I mean, they can do what they want. People are fed up. I mean, you know, our religion tells us that, you know, if you die for such a cause, you're in heaven. So what's my biggest risk? I mean, best case I'm in heaven. Worst case I'm still here tomorrow. There's not really much. That's the biggest ideology around here. That's what everyone's thinking of.
And Ahmed, there hasn't been a democracy. You know, was that what you're hoping for? What are you hoping to have?
Honestly, when you're at the bottom, there's no way but up. I mean, whatever we get, it's better than this. We're not going to get another dictator like this. We're not going to have another murderer like this. So we're going to take steps, and we're going to develop. I mean, every other country done it. Europe done it. The West done it. The States done it. You've all had times where they've had to be in battle to gain complete freedom, to become a democracy. And now it's our turn to do it. Yeah. We're, you know, 50 to 100 years late, but it's our turn.
Ahmed, would you just explain your comment about Gaddafi, you know, being a murderer? And with that, you know, what is your sense of what happens to him? Can he just step down and remain in the country?
No, he's done. He cannot step down and remain in the country. He will, I mean, he will be eaten alive by his people. You cannot kill as many people in cold blood as that and get away with it. I mean, there was one incident in one prison where 1,200 to 1,300 people were killed in a few hours. They were mowed down. I mean, there's people, anyone that's spoken against them has been killed. We have family members that disappeared. It's a regime of complete and utter oppression. They've done the same thing that happened in Egypt. They've released everyone from prison and tried to cause a bit of chaos. They've done it in the other cities as well, but that's all stabilized now. Tripoli, all the prisoners have been released, including those on death row.
So you're saying that the government released people from prison to frighten the people so that they've set these people?
There's some people saying they're fighting. Some people are saying they're just there to scare the people. No, I mean, when you live also, just in one prison, we know confirmed reports of 70 people on death row being released. So just to cause havoc, to cause security, to make people live in fear. When people are living in fear, they want the old stability back. Yeah. All tactics.
And Ahmed, how were you able to communicate with each other? We know the internet was shut down for a while. You know, the phone lines open, and do you worry that the government can trace you back?
Oh, the government is hearing every word I'm saying right now.
That doesn't worry you?
It does, but once you're fed up, you're fed up.
Ahmed, best to you.
Thank you very much.
Again, Ahmed, a 31-year-old Libyan we reached just a short while ago in Tripoli, just before Muammar Gaddafi went on state TV promising to fight the uprising to the death. Max Fisher, international editor of TheAtlantic.com, is with us. And Max, your first thoughts on Ahmed's thoughts. If you're just joining us, we heard from Ahmed, a 31-year-old in Tripoli, who said that he is demanding democracy. He doesn't worry about his own life. He said that Gaddafi's threats that the country will fall into chaos is just scaremongering. So again, Max Fisher, your thoughts.
Well, first off, Ahmed's reports of what's happening on the streets in Tripoli are very much in line with what I've been hearing, what other people have been hearing out of Libya. The government is turning RPGs on the protesters, there are snipers on rooftops, mercenaries driving around in Toyota Land Cruisers strafing protesters, some reports of anti-aircraft guns being used against civilians, which is pretty horrifying. By all appearances, it's turning into very protracted fighting. It's not like what we saw in Cairo, where we had tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of people gathering in one square, holding it peacefully, and then resisting a couple of attempts by security forces to disperse them. It's much more along the lines of neighborhood to neighborhood or even block to block fighting. It's not really clear who is in control of what parts of the city or if any. It's looking an awful lot like trench warfare, honestly. And there have been some reports of protesters who are so fearful of their lives, just because Tripoli is a big city and so much of it is devolved into chaos, they're finding any weapons they can, including gardening implements. So it's parts of the city have descended really into, you know, medieval warfare, which is pretty terrifying.
Well, and what do you think happens now? Ahmed says that Gaddafi's assertion that he's been holding together Libya, which is actually not a nationalistic country but a group of tribes, and that if he is to go, it'll fall into chaos. Ahmed says that's scaremongering. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, Gaddafi is right that Libya is much more tribal than nationalistic in terms of its organization, and he has been pretty good about keeping that together, although the biggest threat to its unity has been Gaddafi himself. Unfortunately, the country has in many ways already descended into some pretty severe fracturing. You've got cities in the east, the second and third largest city, Benghazi and Al-Baida, are reportedly under protester control, although there have been some attempts by security forces and mercenaries to take it back over. Gaddafi cited Somalia as an example, and to a very small extent, that's already true. You've already got his regime has contested control over the capital in some cities, has no control over other cities. It's really not clear what the path forward is, but it's unfortunately probably not going to be like in Egypt or Tunisia where the president, after facing just too much in terms of protesters, quietly bows out. Gaddafi has made very clear his intention to wage all-out war against the protesters, and he's doing exactly that, and that's probably what it's going to take for this to resolve.
And the people, of course, are the biggest concern. But on the list of concerns, oil prices. John Kerry, a Massachusetts senator, says the U.S. should consider reimposing sanctions on the Gaddafi regime and called for foreign energy companies to immediately shut down operations in Libya. We know oil prices reached their highest level in 2 years yesterday because of fears of what's happening in Libya, the third largest oil producer in Africa, 12th in the world. Did Gaddafi talk today about shutting down that flow?
He made some very vague, generalized threats about it. So much of his stability is built off oil wealth, though, that the person he would be hurting most by shutting down oil production would be himself. And you're right that prices have spiked very quickly and very dramatically since these protests began about a week and a half ago. But the thing is that's not actually driven by a drop in production. That's driven by speculators who are playing off of the fear and pessimism in the market. The thing about oil production in Libya is that it's offshore, it's in the desert. Unless they're drilling for oil in the middle of Green Square in downtown Tripoli, production is probably not going to be affected, and I think we're probably going to see prices stabilize. Right. We saw the same thing in the 90s in Algeria and Angola, protracted conflicts, but production was not that deeply affected.
Well, and back to the people. We have just a couple minutes left. What do you think happens now? Muammar Gaddafi, of course, a vicious enemy of the U.S. Then post 9/11, he wanted to sort of win back respectability, be embraced by the U.S. He pledged to go after Osama bin Laden. What happens as the U.S. and other countries watch him attack his own people? Do other countries get drawn in here? Do other uprisings in the region look over at Libya and maybe tamp down? What do you think happens?
Well, this is really an unprecedented problem for the global community, for the UN, because Gaddafi just so openly came out and said that he was going to massacre his own people, that he's planning on turning against civilians. The UN Security Council has a meeting scheduled for 3 p.m. this afternoon, where in typical UN Security Council fashion, they will probably not accomplish very much. But there are some real options for NATO, for the U.S. In the 1980s, the U.S. parked the 6th Fleet in the Gulf of Sidra, which is right off of Libya's coast, and basically took over the airspace just off of the coast. It would be really not too difficult for NATO to shut down airspace over Tripoli, and a number of people, including, I think, some in the U.S., are already calling for them to do that, if nothing else, just to stop the attacks on protesters from jets and helicopters.
Yeah. And what about internally? In just a few seconds we have, we've already heard high-ranking officials, the Justice Department, step down yesterday in Libya because of the attacks on people. Might Gaddafi be removed internally?
This is the thing where, you know, Gaddafi is crazy, but he is incredibly cunning. He has spent decades decentralizing power, especially in the security services in Libya. So I think we're probably not going to see what we saw in Egypt because there's no big unified military to kick him out. He's just been too good at shifting power to small, very loyal groups.
As we just heard, his sons sharing segments of the military. That's Max Fisher, international editor at TheAtlantic.com. Another remarkable day in Northern Africa. And we will continue, of course, to follow all the news out of Libya for you. Max, thanks so much for helping us do that today.
Thank you, Robin.